Welcome to the Ivy Church podcast.
Hello, Ivy Church.
Hello, Ivy Church.
Welcome to Ivy Church.
Jambo, jambo.
Karibuni kanisani, Ivy Church.
Good to see you.
Welcome to Ivy Church.
For more podcasts and information about Ivy Church, go to ivychurch.org.
Well, good evening, everybody. We talked about many things and maybe what I could share with you. And the impression that I get is that the group that's here tonight is the group that's, when you come to night church, you're very dedicated. I know that. And when you come out, you're the change makers and you're the ones that are pushing the envelope of what you can do here at Ivy. And am I reading that right? Yeah. So I want to share with you from my heart one of the greatest adventures I ever was on as a pastor. And it's not a story, but it's a teaching. And it's a teaching about spiritual gifts and who you are. And so automatically my message becomes fascinating because it's all about you. And it's all about you and how God made you to be the person that you are. You are fabulous in every way. You are wonderfully unique. There's no one like you. And the life experiences and the things that you go through are designed for you. It's not an accident. As a young pastor, I was the kind of pastor I went up into my study and I'd be taking notes and drawing pictures and, okay, the ministry is going to look like this. We need teachers over here. We need people in the kitchen. We need Sunday school teachers and someone to do this and someone to do that. And I would graph it all out. And I would say, okay, now all I have to do is fill in all of these spaces in this plan and the church is going to be great. That's what I thought. And it never worked out that way, you know, because I would put people in the strangest predicaments and in the weirdest positions that they never had any desire at all for. Until finally, I was reading the Word one day, you know, and Pastor, he reads his Bible every morning, and I'm like him. And I discovered a passage that says, we are living stones. And I began to think about that. And I began to think. I said, well, if we are the living stones and Christ brings us into this congregation, you're not at Ivy by accident. The master builder has brought you here and you have a unique spot in this church because you are a living stone. Well, I kept thinking about it. What does that mean? A living stone. And I thought, you know, maybe I never got to the bottom of it. But I thought this, if those living stones could talk, what could they tell me about where they fit in the body of Christ? It changed my perspective on ministry. From that day forward, I've never gone back to me making the plan. I figure God has made the plan, and I believe that if I got to know my people intimately, who they are, what they could do, what their hopes and dreams were, I would know how to build the church the way Jesus wanted to build the church. So how do you figure that out? People, we've heard so many messages on spiritual gifts, and I love hearing those messages, but I always walk away from those messages. Now tell me if this isn't true. And I'm going, well, which one was me? Have you ever felt that way? Okay, I discovered this over time, that there is a way of knowing, and it's better. And I'll tell you why. It's more specific, it's more tailored to you, and it's fascinating. So that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. I used to have people come to me. I had one little old lady. She came to me one day, and she said, Pastor, you're always talking about being a part of the body and being so needed. If I'm part of the body, I'm just the little toenail on the little toe of Jesus. That's all I am. And I said, ma'am, have you ever lost a toenail? It hurts. And if we don't have you here with us, serving with us, it hurts. we need you. I had another guy come and he said, Pastor, you know, I've been thinking about what you said. And we were going through a series on ministry. And he said, you know, I'm never going to be a minister. I haven't been to seminary. What can I possibly do at the church? I can't sing. I can't cook. I said, well, what do you do? He said, well, I paint buildings for a living. I said, look around. Do you think this building could use some paint? And he said, yeah. I said, well, welcome to the ministry. And he painted the church. And when the church was done being painted, it was so beautiful, people just started coming. I'm not kidding you. It was unbelievable. Be free. Set the people free. And if I can learn you, and if I can love you, and listen to you long enough, I will know where you fit and how you will be most fulfilled in this life. Are you interested? Okay, here we go. We call this shape. Shape has five components. If I were going to do this right, I would give an introduction on a Sunday morning, and for the next 5 weeks, I would teach one letter from the word shape, S-H-A-P-E, and then on that fifth week, I would have a class, and it would be a workshop, and you would look at yourself, examine yourself as, you know, practitioners of shape. Who am I? And I've done that before so many times in my church. The first time I tried it, I added 70 people to the ministry. At the end of that class, they said, I know what God wants me to do. That's what I'm going to share with you right now. Here we go. Letter S stands for spiritual gifts. You and I have had many, many teachings on spiritual gifts. In the Word of God, some people say, well, there's 35 different spiritual gifts. Some people say, no, there's somewhere between 75 and 80. And this is what I believe. I don't believe they're all listed. I think there's probably thousands. And it's for us to discover. I think the Lord just led us in His Word to think about it. Who am I? How did God make me? What is different about me now that I'm saved? The spiritual gift comes at our salvation. Because at our salvation, the Holy Spirit gives us a gift. That means you don't choose it. It's like Christmas. Someone gives you a gift. You have to unwrap it. You don't know what's inside. But somehow it begins. Your spiritual gift begins to move you and motivate you. The spiritual gift is used to build up the body of Christ. Examples of spiritual gifts. There can be teaching gifts, encouragement gifts. There can be gifts of giving, gifts of service, gifts of wisdom. There are all kinds of gifts. And there are tests that you can take. Spiritual gifts test. You can go online, go to Google, my favorite theological source, and you say, spiritual gifts inventory, free. Use that word free, because a lot of people will charge you. Just get a free one, and it'll put you in the ballpark of understanding who you are. Now, this is why I say in the ballpark, because anytime you take a standardized test, you know what the problem is? There are no standard people. And so, but based on that, the spiritual gift is going to be developed by discernment, and that's what the test does. But on the other hand, you've got to try it out. You've got to try it on and live it out. The problem that I faced was I was attempting to get people to do what I wanted them to do without me thinking or considering them at all. And what happened was they would lose interest, they would stop, they would leave their ministry. So I began to learn something, that if you leave a ministry, it's okay as long as you are on your way to finding another ministry. Why? Why is this important? Because as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, I love that word disciple, but let me use another word, Christian, for a minute. Jesus never used the word Christian, by the way. He didn't say make Christians. Never. You can't find it in the Word of God. He only said, make disciples. But I like the word Christian too, because it means a little like Christ. That's what the word Christian means. It was a derogatory term that they were using to describe us. Oh, look at those Christians. It meant, oh, look at them. They're just trying to pretend to be like Jesus. It was derogatory, but now we love it. We embrace it. I want to be a little bit like Jesus. And Jesus said this, I came to serve. I did not come to be served. Guess what? Do you want to be like your master? You better find your ministry and start serving. You better, because in that service, you become more and more Christ-like. It's the essence of who he was. I came to serve. I did not come to be served. And yet, in this world, when we study the church, we find that there are 10% of the people, I think it's you, that do 90% of all the work in the church. Now tell me if I'm right or wrong. There's people that come to church on Sunday, they go home, and you never see them again for a while. Am I right? They're not doing the work. They're not pulling. To be like Christ, we must have a ministry. The Holy Spirit at your salvation poured a gift into your life. When you discover it, you know what you can do to serve the church, at least one part of it. My spiritual gift that always comes out strong for me is I have a missionary gift and I have a teaching gift. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that's what comes out on those tests. Who knows? Until you test it. And when you test it and you give it a try, it has a way of reinforcing itself. So as the leaders of Ivy, I believe we should set people free, encourage them to try new things. And if they don't like it, let them quit with dignity and try something else that they might like. But everybody's got to be trying something. That's what I would say about the spiritual gift. I'm going to go to letter H. S-H-A-P-E. Here's H. Heart. It's your heart. It's who you are. Do you realize, we all know this, you look at your thumb, everybody has a different thumbprint, right? Did you know this, that everybody has a different voice print? You're seeing it more and more with AI today. You say something and they go, oh, hi, Mr. Holden, right? Your voice, everybody is unique. Do you know that your earlobe is uniquely yours? If they take a picture of your earlobe, they will identify you from the other 8 billion people on this earth. In 1 foot of snow, if you took, now, I don't know what that would be in meters, but bear with me here. It's about this big. If you had a square of snow, there's over 1 million different snowflakes, and each one is different and unique. God is a God who loves variety. Over 360,000 varieties of beetles. Can you imagine that? Yeah. John, Paul, George. I'm just kidding. Yeah. But God loves variety. And if you look around this room, you see people that are uniquely who they are. Your heart, your unique heartbeat, did you know if they listen to your heart, your heart beats different than anybody else in this world? You can be identified by your heartbeat. Your heartbeat, once you discover your passion, what drives you, what makes you move, what do you love to do, it begins to influence your spiritual gift. I might have the gift of teaching. That's S, spiritual gift. But my heart is to teach pastors. Right now, that's what I'm doing. I love it. If you said, Dave, you're now going to teach third grade boys, I would probably do it, but I, out of obedience, but it's not my heartbeat. It's not what I love. It's okay to admit that. There are things that you love to do, and there's things that you could care less about, right? Am I right? Yeah. So do the things that you love. Why would God torment you by giving you a ministry that you hate to do? If I can discover your heartbeat as your pastor, if I love you enough to listen to you and get to know you, and I discover what turns you on, and I say, that's your ministry, you won't quit. You won't leave your ministry. You will submit to being trained, and you will gladly serve through that ministry. It takes on a whole new power. The biggest problem that any pastor faces is people leaving their ministry. You know, imagine, you know, you get a call on a Sunday morning. This happens to pastors all the time. Oh, pastor, I can't come today to teach the third grade boys. And you're thinking, yeah, you go crazy. But if there's a person in your church who loves to teach the third grade boys, they will never quit. You don't need to motivate them. You don't need to puff them up. All you need to do is say, man, I'm so proud of you. You are doing exactly what God made you to be. The letter A. The letter A stands for abilities. Your abilities have been given to you by God. Ephesians chapter 2 says, before you were even born, God prepared your life in a very unique way, equipping you for your life work, your destiny. God knew what he wanted you to do. If I can discover my shape, I can discover what God created me to do. It's unique to me. Letter A, ability. Some of us have abilities to cook. Some of us have abilities to burn water. Some of us have musical ability, like we experienced tonight. Some can teach. Some have a green thumb. They can create a beautiful garden. Some people love to serve and paint. They do crafts. There are all kinds of categories and lists in the Word of God that tell what God's people have done through the years. Sewing, tapestry, carpet making, silver working, goldsmiths, all these things, they are unique abilities. Social scientists say this, that in your life you have at least 200 different abilities that are unique to you. 200. Isn't that amazing? And most people say, well, I don't know what I can do. You've got 200 things to choose from. All we have to do is get to know ourselves enough to say, yeah, I can do that. Okay, I can play the trumpet. I can read. I can write. I can draw pictures a little bit. I can juggle three balls, but not four. I can do many, many things. I can swim. I can ride a bike. You think about all these things. They become an inventory of your abilities, and they can all go on the line for Jesus. Can you imagine what if we had French horn players in this church? What if, and they decided to say, well, I'm going to leave my French horn home tonight. Oh, we would be ripped off. Because it was too good. It was too good. Our abilities on the firing line for God are so extremely important. But here's the thing, okay? The spiritual gift, the heart, yeah, our abilities. What if now, I'm never going to be a great singer or a ballerina probably, but they're close. But what if I had a gift of singing? And in my life, I was raised in the church. And all of a sudden, people say, oh, you have a beautiful singing voice. I say, yeah. So you start singing at church. And let's say we're a young lady. And this young lady, she starts to sing. And people are moved because the singing is so beautiful. She has a divine gift. You realize you can take singing lessons for half your life and you still won't sound any good? That's me. Probably you too. But this person just naturally just can sing beautifully. The congregation is moved. And so one day, someone's sitting in the church and they go, you know what? You'd be a great recording artist. You know? You'd do great. And she says, no, this is my place. I'm singing for Christ in the church. And she lives her life serving the body of Christ until one day, as an older woman, she passes away. And the church mourns her death. And they say, thank you, God. Thank you for all the years we had. Thank you for allowing her to lead us. But what if there's another young girl? And that young girl grows up in the church, and she sings, and everybody's moved and excited. And one day, a record producer comes by and says, you know what? Let's make a record together. And she thinks, no harm in that. And so she gets involved in the music industry and begins to sing. Her career skyrockets. She's selling records. She's famous. She's got money. She's got 6 cars. She's got 5 houses. She's had 4 husbands. And one night, she goes home, gets into the tub, drinks some wine, takes some painkillers, falls asleep, and drowns. The name of that young lady was Whitney Houston. And that is the story of her life. Now, before I go on, let me just say this. About a month before Whitney Houston passed away, she sang a beautiful rendition of Jesus Loves Me, and she professed her faith. I'm not sure what it all means, but I want to believe that God had her in his grasp. But your giftedness, your abilities are God's gift to you. But what you do with those abilities, now that becomes your gift back to God. And when you give your gift back to God, God multiplies that. And all of these things we've been sharing, spiritual gift, heart, abilities, they all mash up somehow and they mean something. Let me give you a 4th category, letter P. It stands for your unique personality. We're all different people. We all have different personalities. You know, some people are a little weird. And if you haven't met one of those people, just they're sitting right next to you right now. We've all got some personality stuff going on. Some people are very loud, and some people are very, very quiet. Some people like to stand up in front and teach. Other people will be working and serving quietly in the back. That's temperament. That's personality. Some people laugh at everything. Some people are very, very serious. Some people make decisions quickly. Other people make decisions very slowly. We're all different. And so you have to ask, what is the best personality that I can have as a minister of Jesus Christ? You know the answer? Your personality. Because God did not make a mistake. He made you perfectly, Ephesians chapter 2, to do the work that he's assigned you to do. And when you discover who you are inside, your shape, your heart, your abilities, your unique personality, you will know where to serve. I'll tell you a story from a friend in Kenya. The pastor there, he was looking for someone to serve at the front doors as a greeter. And in every African church, there's a woman who's the oldest woman in the church. We don't do that in the USA because these days no one admits how old they are. But and she would always sit down in front. And the pastor said, "You know what? I would like someone to start greeting at the front door." Okay, she's got to her feet. She said, "Pastor, I'll do that." So every week she would go out on Sunday morning. There was one problem. This little old lady had no teeth. So every time she smiled, it looked like she was crying. And every week people would come to the pastor and they would say, "Pastor, there's someone on the front steps crying. You got to help this lady." And she was the greeter. So now, right motivation, good heart, maybe just not the right person for that job. So our personality, our abilities, our heart, what we feel strongly about, our spiritual gifts that God has given us to serve the church, they all get intertwined. And then there's one that is most significant of all, letter E of shape. It stands for your life experience. Your experiences have been designed by God. Now, I'm going to say this. We have good, we have bad, we have ugly, we have horrible experiences, but somehow God knows. Let me explain. In your life experience, your home experience, some of us grew up very, very happy. Some of us grew up in troubled homes. I know that. What about education? Some of us have a lot of education. Some of us have only a little bit. Okay, you're you. What about work? Some of us work, we call it a blue-collar job. You know, you're working, you're doing labor. And some people have a white-collar job. They sit behind a desk. All of our work experiences are different. We've had good bosses. Some of us had bad bosses. All kinds of experiences come into your life. Religious experiences. If I went around this room tonight, say there's 75 of us in this room tonight, if we went one by one, I would ask, how did Jesus make himself real in your life? You know what we would hear? 75 unique and separate stories. Some people would say, oh, I saw a sunset and I said to myself, I believe there's a God. Someone else would say, I was in a train wreck. I crawled out of that wreckage and I said, God, if you'll save my life, I'll get to know you. Everybody has a different story. Life experience. But out of all those unique experiences, the experience that is probably the most powerful in your life, and it's shocking to hear it, but is probably your experience of pain. God will never waste a hurt in your life. And when you think and believe that God has been far away from you, nothing could be further from the truth. God is uniquely close to men and women like you, the men and women that he loves so deeply. Someone has said that your tears, God sees every tear. He knows it. And if your heart is broken, if you will put your heart, all of the broken pieces, into the hand of God, God will make your heart whole once again. So what is it about that experience of pain? In your life where you've experienced the most pain, God can use that to become your most powerful ministry. It will be something that is unique to you that you have to offer and to give back to the body of Christ and those who need it. Think about this. If a young mother loses her baby, who is the best one to comfort that young mother but another young mother who knows the pain of losing a child? What about a man who's struggling with alcohol and he just can't stop, but he wants to? Who is best to minister to that man that's struggling? Someone who had the same struggles with alcohol, but has had victory in Jesus Christ. When he talks, when that young mother shares, there is something so real, authentic, and deep. Your life experience can become your most powerful expression of your life ministry. When I began to develop these ideas in my church, ministry exploded. And people would say this, now I know who I am. Now I can see just who God has created me to be. I'll give you some examples. After that fateful Sunday afternoon, it took us 4 hours to do this workshop, and people were fascinated. Like I said, it was their favorite topic. You, and everybody was discovering these things. At the end of that time, we had 70 new ministers. Here's some of the ministries that were evolved. Well, I got Sunday school teachers, of course. I got all of these kinds of things that you would predict. Some people said, well, I can be a greeter. I can park cars, all kinds of things like that. But there was a whole other group of people that said, I know what God wants me to do. One couple came to me and they said, we want to be the water angels. I said, the water angels, what's that? And they said, well, we lived on a mountain. I told you that before. And as the cars would go up the mountain, they would overheat. And when the car overheats, what are you going to do? You need water for the radiator. The steam is coming out of the car. And they would take a water jug. They would fill it with water, and they would put a note on it. And it would said, we are the water angels of Lake Gregory Church. You know, we've left this for you, and we prayed for you before you even picked up this bottle. Come and visit us sometime in church. I cannot tell you how many times I thought this was the craziest ministry. And can I tell you something, people? There is no crazy ministry with the Lord. He dreams up all kinds of creative stuff. The problem is we try to stop everybody and make everybody normal. Stop that. You know, let everybody be as weird as God wants them to be. I cannot tell you how many times people walked into church with an empty water jug and I would play innocent. Well, how did you find our church? Well, see this jug? My car overheated, and I got this jug from the water angels, and I thought I should return it. And they would start coming to church, and they became members. Isn't that a cool idea? Hey, listen, I would have never thought that in a million years, but when the living stones start to speak to you, all kinds of new ministry can take place. We had a garden club, and the garden club was designed to, they would go to one another's houses, and, you know, it was like a social club. They would get together and do this. So one day I said, hey, listen, there's a real weird-looking patch of empty ground in the middle of the city, and there's a flagpole that goes up, but it's ugly. Do you think that the garden club could go out there and do something? They said, yeah, Pastor. So they took their gifts that they were practicing for all those years, and they put in a beautiful exhibit of plants around a flagpole in the middle of our town. And do you know what happened? The newspaper came out and started taking pictures. And they said, who would have done such a thing? Because we didn't make a big deal out of it. Finally, it got back. Oh, it's that church. That church did it. All of a sudden, more and more people are coming to church, and they're saying, I'm saying, hey, how did you find our church? How did you discover our church? I always ask people that whenever I meet them for the first time. And they said, well, we're here because you're the church that loves this community. They weren't talking about Jesus. Let me tell you the next story. There was a group of guys that are good at playing baseball. That's our game, of course. And we had Little League, we call it. And these guys, they discovered that there were not enough coaches for the teams. So I encouraged them. I said, why don't you guys get out there and coach some teams? And they went out there, and with the love of Christ in their heart, they began to encourage these young boys. Get up there and swing the bat. I don't care if you're going to strike out. I don't stand there. Swing the bat. And then you kids, you know, they're sitting on the bench and they're fiddling around. The second rule that we made was when your team member is up there, everybody shouts for the team. Be engaged in the game. Our teams were not only refreshing and exciting and really uplifting to the other boys, but the parents noticed it. And we started winning and winning and winning. And it was the craziest thing. All of a sudden, the head of Little League visited my church one Sunday morning. He goes, listen, I got to tell you, your church has more coaches in it than any other place, and I just wanted to come and see what you're all about. He came that week, and then for the next 8 weeks in a row, he came until finally he gave his life to Jesus Christ. I remember the day that I baptized him. I was so happy. And do you know what he had done? He had called all of the other coaches and the referees from the Little League, and they were all in church that morning to watch him be baptized. 6 months later, I baptized his wife. Listen to me. You have a spiritual gift, a special heart of things that you love to do. Hey, it could be baseball, football. It could be rugby. It could be do what you love. God is not going to torture you with a ministry that you hate to do. And if you hate your ministry, stop right now and find the one that you love. You have abilities, unique abilities. Here's a sign. If what you do in ministry comes easy to you and you're good at it, that's probably what God made you to do. You have a personality that fits the ministry, the life service, your destiny that God, only God can give to you. And you have experiences, good, bad, home, religious, work, education, pain. And God is not going to waste a hurt, but God is going to take you and take the shape that he has given you to make you a person of destiny, a person of a special ministry unique to you. Once I learned that, the church began to double in size. We doubled in size every 3 years until from 80 people, we went to 1,500. It was a thrill ride, and not just for me. You think, oh yeah, well, that's easy to say. You know, you get all the glory. No, can I tell you? Everybody loves it when people are coming to Christ, serving together, pulling together. There was nothing like being in that family, and it's one of the happiest experiences I've ever had in my life. So this is the blessing that I leave with you tonight. You are a living stone, and God has given you a unique expression in your life. When you latch onto that and become who you've always wanted to be, I love that. Someone said, it's never too late to become the person you've always hoped to be. Today is your day. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, I challenge you. If you step into ministry and become the person that God has designed you to be, you will be happier than you've ever been in your lifetime. And this is what I offer you tonight. So let me pray with you. And I just want to bless you in this way by saying, Lord, I pray for every man and woman here in their unique gifting and who they are. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw out of these people, these leaders, these faithful ones, all of the best of their life and life ministry. God, show them clearly how they are shaped, their spiritual gift, their heart of passion, their natural abilities and gifting, their personality, and even, God, all of their life experiences. Let them see how it comes together to make them who they are, unique, wonderful, marvelous creations, and a gift to the body of Christ. Bless them as they work. Grant them the desires of their heart and give them that ultimate happiness of fulfillment when they can say, I know why I exist. And God, we're waiting for you. So come on, Lord, come on, and you make the changes you need to make. We are yours. We open our heart to you and thank you for your presence here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you.